Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour, Tinky and Tierney coming to you from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making a better Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this Monday around the country. Boys got you another hour. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, you know, listen, whether it was the imagery of Jay Gruden smoking a little something with somebody outside of a bar, or just the 0-5, yep. I mean, or maybe Bob was the final straw.
Combination of both.
Probably.
Yeah.
Redskins are once again back in the market for a head coach. Now, I'm surprised Jay even lasted this long. Daniel Snyder showed restraint that he has never shown before. Jay was going to I'm not saying the Redskins are well run. They're a joke. But Jay Gruden was at least given time.
Yep.
And yeah, they do spend money. It's not a money thing. And the I think most of the resource, I can't speak to their immediate football infrastructure, not being there on a daily basis. Who the heck knows what the building is like? But I know that Snyder's not afraid to cut a check. So No. They tried to get players. They failed. They're not good. And now they're back in the head coaching market again.
Yeah. When you look at the past coaches, it's been a lot over the last 10-15 years or so, from Gruden, who was actually there for longer than he seems. He was there for 6 years. This was his sixth season. Shanahan for four before that, then Jim Zorn after they tried to bring back Joe Gibbs. He was there for a couple years, and then going back in the early 2000s, Steve Spurrier, who they brought up from the college ranks, who wanted to play golf on on Friday afternoons as opposed to doing the
man.
The
this
work.
NFL stuff's a lot of time.
Right. Marty
back on the back nine here.
Marty Schottenheimer was there for a year, and before that it was North Turner. You know, back in the early part of my era when I was playing, before he got fired and Terry Rubisky took over for in an interim position. It's just a lot of coaches over the last 20 years or so, which is not what stable organizations do. When you have seven coaches in 20 years, it's a lot. It's a lot of transition going on. But at the end of the day, this is not about coaching. This is about development of players and putting players in the right positions to be successful. Now, all of this is not Jay Gruden's fault. And in fact, when he came in and took this job after being the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati, There was high praise about this selection. Jay, who obviously has football in his background, his brother John is a longtime NFL coach and analyst on ESPN. He knows the game. He's got an acumen for
quarterback play.
Quarterback
adult
play
with Cincinnati.
Exactly.
Yep.
But it felt like, and I don't fully want to blame Jay Gruden for this?
No, he shouldn't, because Bruce Allen's horrendous.
Exactly, and he'll get a lot of this blame. Oh, of course you fire Jay Gruden. He's terrible, right? Look at the record. They're 0-5. But part of this is, the organization, as BT was alluding to. Part of this is the fact that you have a Trent Williams, who is your, star left tackle, who doesn't even want to show up. And it's not because he wants a new contract, or maybe that's part of it, but it's not because he wants a new contract. He just doesn't want to show up because he doesn't trust the organization. He doesn't trust, the medical professionals that are there. Like, those things, when you start hearing those type of things, you start worrying about what's going on behind the scenes. When those behind-the-scenes things start becoming public and becoming the narrative publicly, something's wrong. Something's amiss. So even before they got off to this 0-5 start, you knew that things were starting to crumble a little bit in the foundation of this season in Washington.
Listen, if I'm a coach, and I've got a few names I'm going to throw by you, there's a good article on CBSSports.com that I was just reading during the break, and there's a few candidates. They always do this, list the possible replacements for a team that's getting ready to or has made a head coaching change. The fact that Bruce Allen is empowered enough to, I want to play this for you, like stand in front of a microphone and expound on the failures of Jay Gruden is a travesty. That guy is terrible at his job. I mean, he is horrendous.
And here's the thing. I like Bruce Allen.
Oh, this, I don't know. This is not personal. This is just about his football.
I know him personally. Yep. I like him. Okay. Rondé knows him personally. We like him.
I got you. I respect that.
But to what you're saying,
yep.
I cannot agree more.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not here to offer any sort of character assassination, but I mean, it's widely thought, he is widely thought to be really one of the worst at his job in the entire NFL. And I want to play something from Bruce in a second, but the only way you, in my opinion, the only way you take this job, I think there's two reasons. Number one, if you really think Dwayne Haskins is the guy. That's one reason that you would want to take this job.
And you work with quarterbacks, and you have a philosophy,
yep,
and a plan.
And his skill set fits it.
Exactly. This is how I'm going to get this done, mm-hmm, and he's my guy.
Yep.
I don't have to worry about drafting another guy next year or 2 years from now and have, as you heard in our preview, the Josh Rosen situation in Arizona.
Correct.
That, I mean, you never know if that's going to happen. I hope for Dwayne Haskins' sakes it doesn't.
Or maybe you do, because maybe he gets out of there. Maybe he winds up with a better situation than the Dolphins have this year, and it actually works out.
Possibly.
Could be fortuitous. Now, that's the one thing. You really believe in Dwayne Haskins, and you want to coach him, or you just want to get paid a boatload of money. Because any coach, in my opinion, that's worth anything, that willingly, if he has other options, signs up to coach the Redskins is lost. That to work for Daniel Snyder, to work with or for Bruce Allen, however you want to phrase that working dynamic, I don't know exactly, you know, how much juice would you actually have? Does Bruce have most of it? Would you have a little? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bad situation. And here's Bruce Allen basically saying, hey, we had to do something.
Last night after the game, we came to a decision that we had to relieve Jay of his duties. Dan and I met with Jay this morning to release him of his duties. To make a decision like this is a difficult, but it was necessary. Our 0-5 start is not just disappointing. We had much different expectations for this beginning of the season.
I mean, listen, that's Bruce Allen. He's been their executive VP, their GM, and their president. And he's been there for a decade.
Yeah.
And
previously is at the Bucs. That's
correct.
That's how Rondé knows him, how I know him.
Well, he did a good job with the Bucs.
Yeah, he did.
Certainly better than he's done with Washington. I mean, those are three high-power, high-leverage roles. President, executive VP, and GM. He's had his hand in everything.
Yeah, but part of the problem, though,
they stink.
BT, part of the problem is the roles and responsibilities are not clearly defined with the Washington Redskins.
Go ahead.
Like, Doug Williams is part of this front office.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does Doug Williams do?
That's true.
I don't know. I think he's quasi-GM.
That's
maybe he's
point.
Involved with the scouting.
No, he's there when they throw him out. So he's the sacrificial lamb.
That's
when there's
right.
something negative, we saw this. It wasn't about the logo.
Yeah,
it was about
else. Yeah, I remember that. And I can't remember what it was.
He's out there taking the bullets. It was horrendous.
Yeah, and so when that happens, it's like, who reports to whom? Whose responsibility is what?
Yep.
You know, who's creating the philosophy? Like, who has the roadmap going forward? And we've talked about this with the Miami Dolphins. Look, they're going to suck this year. But at least it feels like there's a roadmap that they're following.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be painful for a little bit. But there's a map.
Yep.
With the Redskins, we knew they were going to be bad this year. We didn't think they were going to be this bad. We knew they were going to be bad this year. But if you know you don't have the talent to compete, or you have injury issues, or you're young, or whatever it may be, you start to craft a path to go towards respectability. And it just feels like the Washington Redskins have not had that for a long, long time. And it really got to go back to RG3 before you felt...
That was Jay's first year.
Yeah, where you felt good about where this team was going. Because even when Kurt Cousins was taking them to the playoffs,
or
took them to the playoffs at 9-7. It was like, yeah, but are you going to pay the guy, or are you not going to pay the guy?
I know.
Do you care about him? There's like reports coming out that, you know, he's not the guy. They want to cut him. Actually, it was so weird.
It's a very strange
strange operation. Roles and responsibilities. This is with any business.
Mm-hmm.
If they are not defined, you get anarchy.
That's true.
And that's what it feels.
It'll
like.
It'll be anarchy. There's, again, we were at the imagery of that was released over the weekend. The imagery of Jay smoking a joint outside a bar is a bad look for any NFL coach.
Yeah.
However, based on what he probably had to deal with every day going inside that building, I'm surprised he'd have a bottle of Jack in his hand as well.
Yeah, also.
I mean, if you worked in that circus environment, you might want to get high and get drunk every day.
I wonder what he'll say when he when it clears. You know, when he lands someplace else. He'll land someplace else. He's a good
what did Lock and Forrest say? He's going to probably wind up with the Raiders as the OC.
Yeah, you're right.
And right with his buddy John. What a win for them yesterday, by the way, in London against the Bears.
Big time
and
win.
They went right at Khalil Mack.
Big time.
That was
Josh
a big
Jacobs.
Win for John Gruden.
Josh Jacobs had 200 and something yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Of course, I sat him down in my fantasy league.
And Tyrell, you sat him down?
Of course.
My
I'm
team
an idiot.
Still stinks. And Tyrell Williams didn't play. It was hurt.
I know.
That was a big win for them.
Big win for them over there because nobody had gave them a chance against that Bears defense. But just goes to show you, you get hot at the right time, you have the right hand, and that was Josh Jacobs. You can win anything in this league.
Listen, there has been, I'm just going to throw out a couple. There's different levels of bad franchises, right? The Orioles, they come to my mind first. The Orioles have gotten bad. They've gone away from their winning ways because they've gotten very tight with the buck.
Yep.
They've let good players walk. They're reluctant to spend money. That situation has defined itself. So they're there because they don't spend money, and that's on them. Other team, go back to like when the Arizona Cardinals were really bad. Mr. Bidwell, may he rest in peace, but he was historically cheap for a while. His son's different, but the pops, you know, was a little different mode of operation. The Washington Redskins, I gotta tell you, it's the football version of the Knicks. it's the truth because it's a distortion of power. Nobody knows who the hell's in charge. I actually think the Knicks are, at least with Fizdale and Scott Perry, they've got some basketball people there. And thank God Dolan's keeping his hands off the, for now, off the remote control. But Dolan, like Snyder, spends money.
Yeah.
Always, almost like a drunken sailor. And it's gotten him in trouble. But at least they spend, to his credit, he spends money. But there's never defined roles. And like you talk about role allocation. It's paramount.
Yeah.
And not just on the court or on the field. But you've got to know when you walk into a building, who the hell is in charge? Who is the final voice? I don't know that anybody can answer that with any sort of clarity with the Redskins.
Yeah.
You'd probably say Snyder by default because it's his team, but I don't know if that's the right answer. Yeah. I mean, I guess ultimately it is, but
they're
a mess.
And right now, Bill Callahan has taken over. We remember Bill Callahan. He's taken over for Gruden before. Took over for John Gruden when John went to the Bucks, and he became the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. He did very well. They got into the Super Bowl that year, and Rich Gannon was the MVP.
2002.
Right? 2002.
Rich had a good age, 36 or 37. He was the MVP.
Bill Callahan is a good interim coach here, but I don't know if he's the long-term answer, particularly when you start talking about the one thing you have to care about if you're a Redskins fan. Yeah, you're 0-5. You're probably headed towards 0-10 or 12 or whatever it may be before you finally get a win. What are we doing with Dwayne Haskins? Who is going to be that coach who salvages – our first-round pick from 4 months ago, five months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if that answer isn't readily available, then you're jumping off the bandwagon for Redskins fans.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, what I think would be the worst-case scenario, and this is probably what they'll do, they'll hire somebody who only agrees to coach Dwayne Haskins when what they should really do is give the best person the latitude to move on from Dwayne Haskins if that's how that person sees fit. Listen, Here's the article on CBSSports.com. Mike Tomlin is listed as a possible target. Now, you know what? I don't think Mike is great. I know he's good. And I've had my doubts as to Mike as a coach on occasion, even though I really respect him.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin to change a culture would be a grand slam.
Yeah, I think
that
guy
shows up, it's totally different.
Yeah.
The press conference, the accountability, the presence. I would be on board with Tomlin for the Redskins.
Another
would
buck,
you?
I would. Another Buck assistant who has kind of fallen off people's radar, I guarantee you gets an interview for this job. That's Raheem Morris, who was the interim slash head coach for the Buccaneers after the John Gruden exit, which was very late in the offseason. He actually did very well, but he's been an assistant head coach down in Atlanta. He's a wide receiver coach, assistant head coach, wide receiver coach in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And that staff is certainly under pressure.
Oh, Falcons are a mess.
So, I mean, it might be a chance for him, mainly because I know he has a good relationship with Daniel Snyder and with Bruce Allen.
Okay.
And so that's just a name to keep at in the back of your mind.
That's a good tidbit.
If you hear it.
It's a good job. Eric Bieniemy was thrown there on this list. Jason Garrett, if Dallas moves on, I wouldn't hire Jason Garrett. If I'm the Redskins, I wouldn't hire Jason Garrett. And Mike Zimmer, nor would I hire Mike Zimmer, with all due respect to Mike Zimmer. So, of those five, this is on CBSSports.com. Maybe it's a young college kid, so maybe it's somebody else.
That might not be a bad way to go.
College kid.
Yeah.
The only problem with that, the only thing that I would fear, is that you've got so much culture to cleanse, it might be overwhelming for a college coach.
True.
That's why Tomlin, to me, if Steelers ever wanted to make a move, I'm knocking down his door. Come save us.
Yeah.
Just inject some respect into the building.
That's right.
You know? All right, T, coming up, fans just having good, clean fun. And the champs, they re-signed their guy. A little inbounds, out of bounds. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Good show today. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So the Redbirds hanging on. The Atlanta Braves went away from moving on to the NLCS, and the Braves are still up a run. So the Braves now jumped in front. They're actually, so Ozuna's got the two bombs,
yep.
But then the Braves respond. Braves are a good team, boy.
They really
Braves
are
a good baseball team.
Yeah, they don't
team.
Get flustered. They were down 2-0, then down 2-1, then they even it up. Now it's 4-3 in the sixth inning. Yeah, they are good.
They got a nice mix of young, ascending, explosive players, but then a couple of guys, Donaldson, Freddie Freeman, Dallas Keuchel, guys been around for a while. They got a nice roster. All right, Tiki, ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds?
Yep, let's get to it.
Okay.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, let's hit it, buddy. Here we go. Game two of the ALDS against the Yankees on Saturday. The Twins elected to start rookie Randy Dobank instead of all-star Jake Odorizzi, who's going to start tonight. Now, Dobank only pitched 28 and a third innings in the bigs. His story is well known. He spent much of the year in the minors. He jumped up every level, basically. And he was also, in addition to being a minor league pitcher, he also drove for Uber in his spare time for a little extra income to help pay for his wedding, which happened last week. D-Cell, you got to start driving for Uber. You got a wedding coming up. Why don't you hop in? The season's going to be over after tonight, hopefully, from Yankees' point of view. But so you can get back in the car. Why don't you take care of him when he's pitching? That didn't go unnoticed to the Yankee fans. Obviously, they were chanting Uber, in case you couldn't make that out. Now, he went on to pitch two innings, didn't look good, allowed four earned runs in the Twins' 8-2 loss. Inbounds, out of bounds here. Yankee fans chanting Uber is completely harmless and not offensive.
That's out of bounds, man. That is offensive, and it's not harmless. I mean, what? Come on. That's, like, insensitive. What are you doing? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, thank you.
But it is out of bounds because you're giving free advertising to Uber. Unless you're going to give this guy a deal, give him some cash, this is what we'll be talking about. Come on, Yankee fans. You New Yorkers. You should know better than that. Don't give anybody free advertising.
Oh, man. I don't love it. Not that I think it's anything overly, sensitive or below board. Listen, of course it's inbounds. You can basically chant whatever you want as long as it's not, overly crossing the line, something to do with, a wife or a child or, if there was a serious incident, God forbid, that you, Duke fans are great at this. I mean, they dive in and they do their research and they come with mountains of, and they get personal.
Yep.
This obviously is not that. They're having a little bit of fun. It's all about getting your side hustle on. So the Yankees got their side hustle on. He gets his side hustle on with Uber. Seems like a hell of a good kid.
Yeah,
if it wasn't my team, I would have really been rooting for him to pitch well. That is, go and look at his baseball cube at some point. Just go to baseball cube and look at his journey from, obscure college to, from A ball, I think it was low A ball, not even high, low A to double A, triple A. I mean, you went systematically up the ranks. Now, you could argue with him pitching game two, maybe shield him at home and go with Jake Odorizzi in the Bronx and kind of give him a chance to pitch tonight. Mm-hmm. I can quibble with that from a strategical point of view in terms of placing him in game two. But what the Yankees chanted, nah, not a big deal at all. Come on.
Are you in or are you out?
The Buckeyes, Ohio State, 6-0 under first-year head coach Ryan Day this weekend. They took down Spartans of Michigan. Both teams were wearing those sweet unis.
They were.
I like those unis. Both look good. 34-10. The game wasn't that good. So with the win, they've moved on to a tie for number three in the country with Georgia in the rankings. Ohio State outscored their last two opponents, Nebraska and Michigan State, 82-17. In or out. Ohio State currently is playing the best football in the country?
Yeah, I could try contrarian, but you can't be. They're playing unbelievably. J.K. Dobbins, we said this earlier in the show, has the second most rushing yards in college football right now at 654 yards. He's explosive. He can score from anywhere on the field. They have a top three scoring offense. More importantly, they're the only team that's in the conversation at the top of the rankings. It also has a top five scoring defense, or fourth in scoring defense, as we talked about also. So, yeah, they're doing it on both sides of the ball. Ryan Day has been unbelievable in his first year, not missing a beat from the Urban Meyer era.
I say inbounds as well, just to maybe add a different layer to it. I mean, really, where could you even point out the teams that would, if we answer this out of bounds, who would we insert there? Mm. You know, I mean,
maybe Oklahoma, because Oklahoma's playing better defensively than they normally have. But
okay.
And Jalen Hurts is a Heisman candidate, maybe even a favorite.
I can handle that. That's fine.
Ohio State's been unbelievable.
Wisconsin's been great too.
True.
I mean, Wisconsin's been equally dominant.
True, but Wisconsin's still got to. They got to climb the.
But the perception?
Yeah.
But if you will.
They got to climb the perception.
But if you strip that away and just apply it to this season,
agreed.
You can make the case Wisconsin's playing close to Ohio State. LSU is playing pretty damn well. You know, listen, Utah State, it is what it is, mm-hmm. but you make sure you step on an inferior team with a future NFL quarterback, by the way, the kid Love.
Yeah.
They beat him 42-6. So
Penn State might be in this conversation as well.
Yeah, who did we have on? I directly asked about Penn State last week. Who was that? Barrett Salee. And I basically said, do we need to include them as a team that's viable for a championship maybe? You know, do we extend that scope to them? And he said that you should.
I misread this. They actually are in the top five. Top five scoring offense, number two scoring defense, Penn State. Actually tied for number two scoring defense. So they're playing great, Penn State.
Those are good numbers. Yeah. I'm with you, Buckeyes, but there's a few others that can maybe make a move for that. Okay.
Are you in or are you out?
The Raptors, almost hoop season, Teak. You ready?
Mm-hmm. I am.
You see the new Warriors Arena? LeBron christened it the other night with AD.
Yeah, did you see Steph like miss the three-pointer by a mile?
No, I didn't see that part.
It was way short, like a foot short. Yeah. Barely clipped the front of the rim. And they were like, yeah, he's still getting used to the dimensions.
Getting used to the backdrop, really, like the NCAA Final
it's like
Four.
Cavernous in there.
Very cow. Okay, all right. But hoops is here. Kyle Lowry reportedly agrees to a one-year, $31 million contract. He's going to remain with the Raptors and was not drafted by the Raptors, mm-hmm. but he's obviously carved out quite a legacy there. Now, he's going to enter his eighth season with Toronto, making him the longest-tenured Raptor. The five-time All-Star and former first-round pick at 06 has earned almost $160 million in his career, inbounds, out of bounds. Kyle Lowry, that was a good question. Inbounds or out of bounds? Kyle Lowry has overachieved thus far in his career.
I debated this one for a while, BT, but I'm going to say out of bounds of this one because, look, he was drafted number 24 back when he was 20 years old. What was that, 2006?
Yeah, he left early from Nova.
Yep, left early. And he didn't play. I mean, he played a little bit. He was averaging 7-8 points a game.
Mm-hmm. Memphis,
Houston. What you would expect from a young player back then. He gets drafted. He gets traded to Houston. His numbers tick up just a little bit. And then he gets to Toronto when he's 26 years old, when he's just hitting his prime. And that's when he starts getting 14 to 17 to 20 points a game. So I'm going to say he actually took the natural progression of a late first-round draft pick. They actually drafted him at the right spot because he grew into the player that he is right now. He's not a superstar.
No.
But he's a world champion right now and a star for the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, he's been an all-star a lot.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he's been exactly where you should have expected him to be.
I'm going
to
say inbounds, and I'm going to base my answer on the context of that draft, okay?
No, I didn't even think about it that way. I need to look at it.
Listen to the first six picks from the 2006 NBA draft. Andrea Bargnani, all right? From the Raptors, ironically. Aldridge, number two. LaMarcus Aldridge, number two. Adam Morrison from Gonzaga, three. Tyrus Thomas, you probably don't even remember him, from LSU, fourth. Sheldon Williams, the landlord, number five from Duke, went to the Hawks, right? Number six, he's out. He's been out of the league for a long time. Brandon Roy, who was good, but his knees were shot.
Yep.
Brandon Roy would have been a really good, but he was really good. The good players from that draft, J.J. Redick was drafted 11th.
Redick.
And, yep, your boy.
Spring High School.
I know. And Rondo was drafted 21st overall. All right, Rondo. So, through the prism of that draft, he is far overachieved because there are a lot of stiffs who went in front of him, miles in front of him. Yeah. How about this? He is the The only player with more points is Aldridge. Nobody in that first round, nobody in that entire draft has scored more points than Kyle Lowry. So to me, that's why I like the question. I was able to dig into the minutia of, and I love that stuff. To me, that answers the question for me. He was drafted 24th behind Aldridge. I mean, you can say maybe Redick, but I would even say that Lowry's, well, Rondo's good too. He's one of the best players from that draft.
Yeah,
and
right.
The stats back it up.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, that was a good question.
That was a good question.
Think about it.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things to do. Ack likes doing this as well. Dig through old NBA drafts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hysterical. Oh, remember this guy? Wow, what happened to that guy?
It's funny
because
he's bounced to so many, not so many, but a few different places.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there not for a short time. It's not like he was there for 1 year in Memphis. He was there for 3 years, and he goes to Houston for 3 years, and he's in Toronto for 8 years now.
Yeah.
Like, you forget when he came in because it's just like he kind of restarted every 3 years. And then now he's been here for a long time, and he feels like he's old, but he's not that old, but he's...
No, he's 30s for a guard. Yeah. You know, I've always loved him because that was one of, you know, Jay Wright's first teams, and obviously doing St. John's, I called some of his games. You know, Alan Ray, I mean, Sumter was there. I mean, they had...
Mike Nardi,
yeah, the white point guard, Mike Nardi.
On the staff at Villanova.
I know he is. They had... that's when Jay Wright... Villanova was kind of down, man. People forget. They were a little down. And that crew, and they weren't all the same class. I know I threw out a few different names, but they came in and systematically, brick by brick, they chan. Now here's Jay Wright, 2 championships.
Right, they nearly beat North Carolina in
2005. That was at the Carrier Dome, right?
Yep.
Wasn't there a bad call? Yes. Somebody stepped out. Was it on Lowry or Alan Ray?
I don't remember.
They said somebody stepped out of bounds. He did not step out. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was at the Carrier Dome.
Yep. Sweet 16.
Look at that, getting a little geeky. I love it. All right, Axe update is now. What's the score in the baseball? Do you have a score for us? You got
a
score?
Interesting situation developing in the Braves and the Cardinals right now.
Really? If interesting means that there's runners on base with a chance for another run, that would be good because I have the over in this
base
game.
Base is juiced.
That's what I want to hear. Axe update is right now.
You're listening to Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question today here on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a final thought on the game tonight as well. Big spot. Levi should be popping pretty good. About 40 miles outside of San Francisco, the Browns and the 49ers tonight. But we answer this, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, today's question coming in from Pete in Denver, Colorado. Let's see. I heard you guys on the show say that Denver's in one of the worst positions of any NFL franchise. Does their win over the Chargers make you second-guess that? No. I actually said this on Tops, and I picked the Broncos to win, and Fletch almost laughed me off the set. I'll be laughing last on this Sunday coming up. I still think they're in a horrendous spot because John Elway has not proven to be very capable at his job yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still playing a 30-something bridge quarterback, and they're 1-4.
Yeah, you're right. And Philip Lindsay had a good day, and Cortland Sutton had one good catch for a big touchdown.
That was early, too. Was 82 yards.
Other than that, he had 12 yards on 3 other receptions. And Joe Flacco he's Joe Flacco.
Yep.
So their defense is getting older. A year from now, when they have a chance to be relevant again, I just don't see them right now, you know, making any waves.
Nope, we're on the same page. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jason Lockenfora also said that he thinks that the Broncos are highly isn't his word, but certainly it reflects the belief he has in the conviction in the statement. He really believes that they're highly motivated to trade Von Miller.
Mm.
The Broncos are. He dropped that on Tops yesterday. And Chris Harris as well, which seems to be the smart move.
Yeah, saves them some money.
And gets some draft equity, which they need.
You're right.
You know?
And there are teams that would love a Von Miller on their squad right now.
No question about it. Hey, Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. Many of you seeing two of the top dynamic quarterbacks in the game aired out when Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans. That'll be really good. Followed by the Cowboys visiting the Jets. I don't know what to tell you, America. You got to watch my team play. I'm sorry. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you focused for football in the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. The one saving grace to that is Sam Darnold's going to play. So, you know, you'll see, obviously, a very different Jet offense. And let's face it, in terms of urgency, I mean, that becomes close to a – well, the Eagles have a few losses as well.
Yeah.
But that kind of begins to border on a must-win for Dallas. They've got to rectify this quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they lose three in a row, then all of a sudden we're questioning our original thought about them at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I wouldn't say must-win, but because there's still so much football left to be played. And at the end of the day, they could still get in as a division winner if they, you know, turn things around down the stretch. But you don't ever want to get on a slide, because once you get on those things, BT, sometimes it's hard to get off of.
I can imagine. It's got to get real slippery real quick, especially in a city where you played with New York, or a city in Dallas where there's just intense, oftentimes unrealistic football expectations.
Right.
While they can still certainly win the division, although I do think, and I picked the Eagles to win the NFC East. You picked Dallas.
Dallas, yeah.
You know, we both liked both teams coming in. I liked Philly slightly more. You know, the problem is we both thought that the way the season started, maybe this could be one of those 13-3 years for Dallas, maybe 14-2, maybe trade for Jalen Ramsey, something wacky, and maybe just host all the way through to the Super Bowl if they got that far. You lose games, you know, you still make the playoffs, but you're playing divisional possibly on the road.
Yep.
So it does change a lot.
It's a different animal when
it
you're
is.
On the road, especially when you have a home field advantage like the Cowboys do.
Oh, it was loud yesterday, too, no question. Didn't work, but it was loud. So here's some of the results, at least for now. We'll let this live on Tiki and Tierney throughout the night, and we'll give you an update tomorrow. Five games into the season, Dallas is 3-2. Do you still view the Cowboys as a Super Bowl contender? What percentage do you think say no right now, Teak?
60.
84%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, they're jumping off.
They're jumping. A lot of room on the Cowboys Express right now. Come on. First class seats available. Everybody jumping off. All right, you ready for the blast?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so we start with somebody who Tiki's team's going to see on Thursday, and Tiki's team is battered. Mm-hmm. You guys are, we can actually hit that after The Blast. You guys are really banged up.
I'm worried about one of them.
I hear you. I'm going to certainly give you a chance to get back to that. I'm a little worried for him, too. Tom Brady and the Giants play on Thursday, but Tom Brady passed Brett Favre third all-time passing. This was yesterday. So he still trails Drew Brees for first by a little less than 3,000 yards. Can Brady catch Drew Brees?
Yeah, definitely he can catch him, especially if Drew Brees doesn't play anymore this season, which I don't think is going to be the case. He's already starting to feel good. His thumb is functional. He'll likely be back before the season gets all the way through. But if he didn't play for the rest of the season, Tom Brady put up over 300 yards over the weekend. Might be able to do it this year, especially if they get in games where he has to chunk the ball a lot. And even if they don't get in games where he's got to chunk the ball, he throws passes to run. That's what they do with their running back. So, yeah, he definitely can catch him.
Look at those names, man. To me, the purest passer on the group is still Dan Marino, the absolute purest passer. 61,000 yards. Favre was amazing. Brady's the GOAT, you know, for different reasons. Peyton was a surgeon mentally, and Drew Brees is kind of a combination of all of them. I think that, I'm with you. I totally agree. You know, he didn't play well against the Bills, one of his worst games in years.
But the other games, he's been good.
Trust me, I get it. But a lot of dink and dunks, but he's been doing that for years. But as long as you dunk it and the guy runs 20 yards, it adds up. I agree with you. Rich Hill is on the mound tonight for the Dodgers in Game 3. By the way, the Cardinals wiggled out of that bases juice jam. They're down a run still. I believe it's 4-3. We'll get you an update before we get out of here. So, first pitch is about an hour from now or so. Do we expect the Dodgers to close out the Nationals tonight? I don't. I know that his October record is not particularly comforting from a Nationals point of view. I'm going to put it out there, and I think Max Scherzer tonight, because he's going to have to pitch deep. He's got to go as far as he can. I'm going to put Scherzer down for 8 1/3, all right? I'm going to put him down for 11 strikeouts, 2 runs, 1 walk, and 3 hits.
Wow.
I think he's superb tonight, and he has to be.
Wow.
Otherwise, it's over.
I think that the Dodgers chase him in the fourth inning.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, I think the Dodgers close this one out. Look, their bats are good.
Well,
man.
One of us will be right.
We know it, right? And Cody Bellinger might win the MVP this year. So I love where the Dodgers are. I think they're Rich Hill. Obviously, it's a mismatch, starting pitcher-wise tonight. But the Dodgers, they're just bangers, and they've been dialed in for the last two postseasons. There's no question in my mind that they'll do so again tonight.
Listen, it's definitely a mismatch. There's Rich Hill's numbers up on the screen, just in terms of Scherzer versus Hill. But, you know, Rich Hill's got this, like, weird, funky, little lazy delivery. Rich Hill's got pretty – Rich Hill has better stuff than people think. Rich Hill's stuff is pretty good. Here we go. I was waiting for that. Jaguar, maybe you gave it already. Jaguars quarterback Jalen Ramsey visits a back specialist in Houston over the weekend. Is this all just for show, or is he just trying to get himself traded?
I think this is show. Look, the reality here is that Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Watson share an agent, and he actually did go see a back specialist in Houston. He was hanging out with his agent, who is in Houston, and Deshaun Watson after the game came and met them. A photo gets taken. Mm. It's coincidental.
But it's not.
I don't always believe in coincidence. Actually, I don't believe in coincidence at all.
Not at all?
No.
There's definitely coincidences. Come on. You bump into somebody that you didn't plan meeting? What a coincidence.
Maybe. Maybe. But it's a different story. It's a longer story.
Okay.
But I'm going to say, is this all show to get him? I don't think this was show to get himself traded. I think this was actually probably.
I should add coincidences based on humans trying to dictate things.
Yes. Yes.
The man above, there's no coincidences. If that's what you meant, I'm with you on that. All right. Is this just a I think he wants out, man. I don't think I know he feels disrespected. I think he has eyes on a bigger market with more the ability to monetize more. Yeah, I'm with you on this. This was all done for a reason, and they're probably going to trade him. All right. The Huskies lose to Stanford 23-13 on Saturday. And Jacob Eason, he's been a little bit of a disappointment, most would say. Georgia transfer, of course. Has he been a disappointment thus far? I mean, I think he's been a disappointment. Look at those numbers. Those numbers are horrendous. Yeah. 13 touchdowns. He's got more picks. This is college.
Yeah.
He's got, for those who can't see the screen, 13 interceptions.
No, I think that's wrong. I think it's three.
Is it three?
Yeah, it's three. But
that's a big difference.
Yeah,
then.
It is. The difference is, and again, a lot of this is the talent.
He's not putting up the numbers people thought he was going to put up.
But that's it. I'm talking about the talent around him.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. He was brought there. Not brought there, but when he transferred in, the thought was he's going to elevate everyone else around him.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't quite happened. And we've talked about this a lot. The Pac-12 is an atrocious conference overall, but they're also not great overall. And so you get like these middle-upper teams.
Mm-hmm.
Beating up other middle upper teams, and so everybody falls because the perception is already down anyway. So it's a rough situation out there. Underperforming, I would say no because of what's around him, but it's really hard to evaluate that one. It's a good question though, because it's hard to evaluate what he means, even though he's getting a lot of buzz for the NFL draft next season.
Listen, the only thing he doesn't do, he's not a big time athlete. He doesn't run around. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've watched Washington play a ton this year. I'm not going to lie to you.
They're always at 10:30.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, there's certain games I'll still find at 10:30. No disrespect to the Huskies. They're good. And it's not an inside Pac-12 thing.
I keep it real. When those games kick off at 10:30, maybe I get a quarter. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I hear you. It's tough to find them, but.
Like, for instance, next week, 11 p.m. against Arizona.
And is that a Friday night or Saturday?
It's a Saturday night game.
I'll be sleeping.
11 o'clock.
That's actually
a game to watch.
Yeah, I'll be sleeping. Tops. Only wake up. How about this? Lakers beat the Warriors in a preseason game on Saturday. Scores irrelevant. LeBron, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, D'Angelo all played at least 17 minutes. Is this encouraging for the Lakers here?
Yeah, I think it is. Look, Anthony Davis and LeBron look really good playing together. They're not playing defense. They don't want to get anybody hurt. This is one of what they play, like four preseason games or whatever it is. So this is just to get the cobwebs out and start to put some plans together. Well,
they got to get some chemistry too, Tate. They got to get a little gel here. Even Steph Curry with his new teammates, and obviously LeBron and AD.
Yeah, it is encouraging for the Lakers, but this isn't going to tell us enough about the Lakers. What's going to be interesting for the Lakers is the depth issue. What happens when XYZ player misses 10 games?
Yeah, no, we've talked about that, no question. So I like it because they need to learn each other's rhythm, and I think it's good. I would play him a little bit. I'm not going to go overboard, but I'm okay with those minutes, yeah.
Time's up.
The blast is over for another day.
You want to hit the Sterling Shepard tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll hit Sterling tomorrow because it's a little concerning. This is the second, for those who missed it, he's in the concussion protocol again.
Mm-hmm.
Second time in 4 weeks, which is disconcerting.
That's brutal.
That's not good. You don't want to mess with that.
No. Listen, I'm trying to go 5-1 this week, six-pack of picks. I've got the Browns plus the 4 tonight. I'm 4-1 so far. I do think the 49ers win the game, but I think it's a tight one. I'll say field goal. Browns covered, and they lose.
Yeah, I can get down with that one. You
can get down with that?
I can get down with that.
Get down with that?
I don't have any juice. I'll take yours.
All right. See you, Ma.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.